All right, welcome to our little Saturday podcast. Hope you've been enjoying these throughout the summer as we move into football. Last week struggled a little bit, went 2-3. RJ Bell and the Sharps went 4-1. And when I agreed with RJ, we went 2-1. So before we get to RJ, here's my blazing five this week.
That's a hot one.
Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins' blazing five. Falcons at Cowboys.
I like Dallas -5 against Atlanta. Listen, Dak Prescott is one of those guys that he plays well at home. Some quarterbacks feel very comfortable at home. Last year at home, he was first in passing touchdowns, tied for first in passing yards, passer rating top five. And by the way, doesn't it worry you if you're an Atlanta fan? They outgained Seattle, and they got crushed. It's a cotton candy offense with a lot of phony yards in Atlanta. They got blown out, and they outgained Seattle and threw for a lot of yards. And for the record, Dallas loses their opener a lot. But Mike McCarthy, all eyes on him, a lot of heat on him. Now they come home against an inferior team. I like Dallas to win comfortably 30-20.
Lions at Packers.
This is all about the value of the number. Detroit +6.5. I'll take the Lions. They completely outplayed Chicago. You had to watch the game. They were much better than Chicago for all but 8 minutes of it. They were leading 23-6 in the fourth quarter. Then, you know, Detroit can unravel. I get 6.5 points here with Detroit. Everybody fell in love with Aaron Rodgers. You do realize 7 of his last 9 games, he's had declining numbers, right? You do get that Minnesota had 400 yards against Green Bay's defense. The Lions last year played Green Bay close. They lost both games by a total of 4 points. I think Matt Patricia, I'm dead serious here, the next 2 weeks is coaching for his job and to not lose the locker room. This is my upset of the week. I'm going to take the Detroit Lions with an upset over Green Bay. 6.5's a ton of points here for an urgent team that needs to win. Detroit 26-24.
Bills at Dolphins.
So timeout. Miami gets 5.5 at home. I thought we liked Miami last year. Didn't we like Miami last year? Now we suddenly think they stink because Belichick gave a quarterback trouble. Maybe Miami's okay. Maybe New England's defense is fantastic. Brian Fitzpatrick has faced Buffalo many times. He's been fine. He's done very well. Again, this is not a shock. This is not a rookie quarterback. And oh, by the way, the Bills averaged 19 points last year. They're still babysitting Josh Allen. You see what they did in the second half against the awful Jets. Very uninspiring. So I get a Miami team that I liked last year, and I'm supposed to bail because they lost in Foxborough to Bill Belichick. You know, like sort of everybody does. I'm going to take Miami to win. I like Buffalo a lot. It's going to be, you know, typical Miami September sweat fest for the cold weather Bills. Miami wins 24-23.
Panthers at Buccaneers.
I'm going to take Tampa -7.5. All these lines provided by FoxBet, by the way. By the way, when Tom Brady loses in week one, have you seen what he does the next game? Yeah, he never loses, like ever. The Panthers are a bad team that have lost 9 consecutive games with a college coaching staff. The Panthers allowed 30 points a game last year. This defense is younger and potentially worse. Last week, Brady faced the best defense in the division. This week, the worst. Last week, Tampa had a punt blocked. Won't happen again. Tom Brady had a pick six. Won't happen again. And the thing about Tampa to watch here, their defense was actually really good. Drew Brees threw for 160 yards. That's it. And the running defense with Todd Bowles was good last year. It's good again. Don't get caught up in losing first week to the Saints. They should have. Carolina's defense is bad and really bad on the back end. Tommy wins by 10, 30-20, Buccaneers.
Patriots at Seahawks.
It's a number. I get over a field goal, Belichick. Okay, Belichick since the start of last year. Look at their defense. It's number one in virtually everything. Seattle's O-lines and D-lines are bad. They were outgained by Atlanta. Seattle's D-line's the weakest under Pete Carroll. The Seahawks allowed the most passing yards in the NFL last week, 434. Again, I think Seattle is the better team in this spot. But you know what this is going to be. It's going to be a short, quick game. New England's going to run and eat that clock up. That's what New England's going to do. They don't have a deep threat. And what's Seattle going to do? They know New England's defense is great on the back end. They're going to run the football. That is what they'll do and eat the clock up. This game's going to go fast the first quarter, but it's going to be gone. Seattle is the better team here. But getting 4 points on a run-dominated game in a good big game. By the way, we think Cam will get beat up later in the year. He's not beat up now. This could be a clock control game. I don't like Seattle's defensive front at all. Seattle wins, but I'm going to take the 4 points, 23-20 Seahawks.
So now we bring on RJ Bell, pregame.com, also straight out of Vegas on Fox Sports Radio. You can follow him on Twitter, as always, at RJ in Vegas. All right, are we ready to go?
For sure, baby.
All right. Falcons at the Cowboys, Dallas minus 5. You know, one of my rules, I like capable quarterbacks getting points. Matt Ryan's that. But I like Dallas here. I think Dallas, when you look at Dak Prescott at home, he tends to be a better quarterback. I also think Dallas has some star players. What I watched with Atlanta last week, I didn't see a lot of special. I see special with Dallas. I see flaws, but I'll swallow the 5 here. What do the wise guys think?
Biggest agreement of the week. And one of the things you really can benefit from in week 1 and then going into week 2 is who could have won that lost. And when they lose, how big of a reaction does it get? So Dallas, you know, I think they were underdogs in that game against the Rams, but they could have won the game. And how different would the narrative be? Now one loss, one close, you know, game, they lose, and it's almost, oh, it's a catastrophe. Oh, my gosh, another close loss. Oh, my gosh. Well, look, Dak last year was 8-8 with the Cowboys, the team. It should have been 10-6. That's just statistically a fact.
Yeah.
And they were underrated last year. They're probably underrated here. The line in this game was 7 just last week, and it opened up 7.5 in some spots.
Yeah.
So think about that. Now we're only getting 5. I mean, this is what confuses me, Colin, is let's call home field 2 instead of 3 because of COVID and the lack of fans.
Yeah.
So you're saying that there's just a couple of points difference between Dallas and Atlanta? I mean, because from 2 to 5 is, you know, a field goal. Is that all? That does not feel right. Atlanta did not impress.
By the way, either side, they really didn't. They weren't dynamic anywhere.
They put up some points for sure, but they were down. If you look at the projected win during the game, with 10 minutes left in the third onward, they were less than 20% chance to win Atlanta. Seattle gave them a lot of yards because they were in such a big lead. I think this is the best pick you've got this week. Agreement.
All right, Lions at the Packers. I'm going to take Detroit. Number right about 6.5. First of all, I think Aaron Rodgers played well. Minnesota's defense lost 5 starters. Don't think this is the Minnesota defense from a year to 2 years ago. They didn't have a pass rush. They also lost their top corner in the offseason. Detroit, frankly, dominated Chicago for most of that game, and I thought Green Bay's defense was questionable. I just feel like I'm getting value here. Detroit's played Green Bay fairly tough. I'll take the 6.5 with the Lions. What do the wise guys think?
Agreement here, and by the way, these are the 2 biggest agreements of the week, so from here it gets troublesome. But I will say this is a really sharp handicap. Again, Packers looked outstanding, so overreaction potentially. Now, why do we discount it? Well, we don't, but we don't go crazy with it. We do account for the fact Minnesota, like you said, on defense, especially early in the year, is going to struggle with a lot of new players. Also, Aaron Rodgers chip on the shoulder. Okay, does this placate him a little bit? Does he take a breath, especially as a favorite of almost a touchdown? Now let's flip on the other side. Detroit, remember, home field advantage here is limited, but there is a home field advantage in Lambeau when it comes to the surface. It's a very slick grass, but Detroit has a lot of history on it, and they play fairly well on it. And then if you think about it, Detroit could have easily, they should have won that game last week. They should have won. So we have a team with a loss. They're focused. Maybe Green Bay's taking them a little lackadaisical because of that loss. But in truth, they should have won that game. At the end of the game, If you look at that Lions game, they were up 23-6.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that the fourth quarter doesn't count, but we know Matt Patricia struggles giving up late leads. But listen, we're getting 6.5, so we're fine with late leads being given up. Agreement.
Bills at the Dolphins. Let's go back to last week. The Bills had a tremendous first quarter and a half. Didn't do a ton offensively after that at home. And they only averaged 19 points a game last season. The 27 points they scored in week one, that was the most since way back in last year. Okay, like week 10 or week 11. I still think Buffalo is a fairly limited offense and that Sean McDermott, an excellent young coach, is protecting him. Let's go to Miami. It's Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's a B quarterback. He's a backup starting. But he's played the Bills a lot. He's a better quarterback at home. And my takeaway is we liked Miami a lot last year. Are we going to dump on him now because they lost to New England and the greatest coach on a franchise? We don't question a lot about New England's defense. It's their ability to throw the ball over the top with Cam. They don't have any dynamic players. So, again, I think these teams in Miami are much closer. It's going to be, it's your typical Miami September sweat fest. I get 5.5 points. That's just too many points for me. I'm going to take Miami plus 5.5.
All right, slight disagreement here, but I see where you're coming from. And there's going to be some wise guys that like the Dolphins side. Here's why I don't. Number one, and this is a great stat, a team the week after playing Belichick, and this is 20 years now we're going back, 48% against the spread. Now you're saying, oh, 48, that's just a barely below. Okay, there's over 300 games in this sample, right? Yeah. So this is meaningful. Why is it? Because Belichick gives the blueprint on how to attack a team.
That's really, really good. That's fascinating. I've never thought about that. He shows you what works.
Think about the Rams. The Rams haven't recovered yet from Belichick focusing on them.
Right.
And McDermott's a great coach. And you know he studies every move Belichick makes. So not only is he going to watch that tape, you know, like all coaches would, but he's going to know why Belichick did what he did. On the other hand, we know in COVID, post-COVID, or, you know, this COVID season, is that running quarterbacks are just so outstanding because it's like a college game in a way. These teams don't have their full playbooks in. They're trying to, you know, step up to it. And obviously, if you look at Buffalo's quarterback situation, running the ball is a strong suit for sure. Last thing I would say is this, is there's a wise guy, former bookmaker in town I respect. His name is Matt Holt. He's on our podcast, and he does the Fox radio show with us. He has multiple tickets on the Bills to win the Super Bowl. Now, this guy does not make bets unless he's got a reason. And I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl. He's got them like 40-1. But he really believes, other than quarterback, this is as good as any team in the NFL, Buffalo. And because of that, I'm just a little bit apprehensive to fade him. So I'm going to lean Buffalo. One interesting thing, Colin, quickly. If you look at this line and you look at last week's line, this line tells us that the Bills are 2 points better than New England. So the Vegas market thinks the Bills are 2 points better than New England. I think that's noteworthy.
All right, my thoughts on Tom Brady and the Patriots-Seahawks game and our bonus pick after the break. All right, back with RJ Bell, pregame.com. Okay, I'm going to take Tampa minus 7.5, and here's why. We've never cared about anything other than winning for Tom Brady, right? We don't care about his passer rating. We don't care about his touchdown passes. Does Tom win? That's defined his legacy, right? We've never thought he's the most athletic guy, but he's the GOAT. Okay, let's just be honest. Do we think Tom Brady is going to go face a Panthers defense that allowed 30 points a game last year with the weapons he has, and he's going to struggle? No, we know Tom's going to score here. The question is Carolina going to score? The Bucs defense held Drew Brees down. There's a pick six. This Carolina defense is bad. He's going to have time to throw. They don't have any special playmakers in the back end of the defense. They don't have a Lattimore to shut down a Mike Evans. And Drew Brees really didn't throw for many yards last week, well under 200. So the question isn't, is Tom going to win this game? We think he is. We also know against Carolina, he's going to move the ball. The question is, will Carolina, with a college coach, remember the Raiders' defense is a mess, will they move the ball against a defense that I think even last week in Tampa was overshadowed because we paid attention to Tom Brady? Tampa's defense was good at the end of last year, and they showed real signs last week of shutting down the Saints' running game. So I think Tampa shuts down Carolina's offense. I'll swallow the 7.5.
Disagreement slightly. And listen, another good handicap. I can't disagree with much you're saying, except one thing I'm going to pose. Are we sure that Tampa Bay is motivated to make a statement? Because this is one of those statement games in theory, right? That you lost, now you're going to come out, no nonsense, win by 14 or more. But Tampa Bay has never been in that situation. The players on this team, other than Brady, and quite frankly, the coach Arians, hasn't been in a situation where they are in a position to ever make statements like this, right? If this were the Pats off a loss, I'd agree with you. I just don't know if this team understands how to do something like this. They look at this line and say, oh, we're a touchdown favorite. Maybe they're a little lax. And I know you didn't want to talk about it all that much this week on the show because you thought it was a non-issue, if I recall. But Bruce Arians and the criticism of Brady, that seems like that's a sign of distraction. If you were looking about truly going on to play the Panthers, as he said, then why are you cutting on your quarterback? And it sounds like to me, and I'd like to get your quick thought on this, it feels like Bruce Arians is already setting up who's to blame if this thing hits the crapper. And the odds are they're not going to win a Super Bowl, meaning the next 2 years, the odds are Tampa Bay will not win a Super Bowl. And it feels like he's already setting up to blame Brady instead of himself. Why else would he do what he did?
Because Bruce is loose. I mean, that's always been him. He's daiquiris at six. He's loose. I mean, everything Belichick does is planned. Most things Arians does are kind of planned, and I just think it's his personality. In fact, I've always said Brady's biggest issue is not going to be playing in the heat. It's not going to be playing with new kids. His issue is he goes from a rigid system to a, hey, we're going to kind of wing it here. And can he fit in that? Is that who Brady is? My takeaway in this whole game comes down to this. Tampa's defense is better than we thought. We loved it at the end of last year. If you really examine what they did against the Saints, they didn't let him run much and breeze through for under 200 yards. I think Tampa's defense is good.
Oh, I think you're right about that. But to me, Colin, last point for me is this is all about motivation. If the Bucs come out and play as hard as they did last week, they will cover this spread. I think there's a real chance they don't, even though it seems like a spot they should. By the way, last thing, in the history of the NFL, quarterbacks 43 years or older have won 2 games. Vinny Testaverde, 2 games.
Well, this will make it 3.
Yeah, perhaps. But what I'm saying is, Brady will be one of one if he puts up any kind of season this year. I know that he didn't look all that bad other than the interceptions. I think it's important to realize this is history if he's able to win this year.
Okay, finally, my Blazing 5 pick. New England plus 4 at Seattle. Something to remember. Seattle looks very dynamic. Jamal Adams, Bobby Wagner, DK Metcalf, Russell Wilson. These are explosive players. These are next-level athletes. But they did give up 500 yards in week one. And this is what I don't like about Seattle in the last 2 years. Russell Wilson is the life preserver. Their offensive line play is poor. This is Pete Carroll's worst defensive line play. I think New England makes it ugly. I think they control the clock with Cam. I think they probably lose. But I know what this game's going to look like. If Atlanta has 500 yards, New England's going to control the clock and keep it out of Russell Wilson's hands. This will be a very fast game because New England's strength is their pass defense. I think Pete Carroll runs it. I think New England runs it. I think it's a quick game. I think it's low scoring. So in a low scoring game, I'm going to take the best coach ever, plus 4 New England.
Ooh, you're all of a sudden high on the Patriots. Interesting. Now, I will say this, slight agreement here. And I think, one, you got to consider home field. Home field Seattle is typically the crowd noise. We know that won't be there here. The fact this line's 4 is showing a lot of respect to Seattle. I think there's some value. But I never really at this point, I don't bet against the Pats. I either play on or pass. And the reason is, and this is an amazing stat, if you go back to the first Super Bowl that Pats won with Belichick, from then on, the Patriots have won triple what any other team has if you just bet the teams blind. If you bet every team blind during this time, the Pats have won the most, and it's triple as much as the second best team. That is incomprehensible. Now, what about, and let's say this with compassion, but it is a game, we got to consider Belichick's mom passed away.
Yeah.
How much do you think that's a distraction?
It could be an inspiration for Bill, actually. Maybe he was worried about his mother's health in the last 6 months. Maybe
She was in her late 90s.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's an inspiration. Maybe this one's for mom.
Yeah, and perhaps, and you know, that does concern me, the distraction, and because no matter how old, you know, a mother is, there's going to be that strong emotion. And finally, what concerns me is two quick things. One, New England had a rare advantage last week. No one knew what they were going to run. There was no preseason game. It was a new quarterback. It was a surprise to Miami exactly how they did things. Now, I'm not saying they don't have another move in the bag, but maybe not, right? And to me, last week might have looked better than they really are because of that surprise. And finally, all the analytics guys have said Russell Wilson can't run the ball. Seattle can't, and then force him to throw late behind. They passed early. And every analytics guy is saying, oh, my gosh, if they do that this year, that's going to be a huge advantage for Russell Wilson. So I do have some optimism for Seattle overall if they keep passing early. But for this week, Patriots +4, slight agreement.
All right, we always do a bonus pick. We give our audience a tasty bonus pick from RJ Bell, pregame.com, straight out of Vegas on Fox Sports Radio. Great show. I would have taken Arizona -6.5. Is Washington any good? Or did Philadelphia have massive cluster injuries on the O-line against a very good defensive front, and they just couldn't get out of their own way in the second half? Philadelphia looked much better. Meanwhile, we know this about defensive lines in Kyler Murray. He gives the 49ers fits. So if they can't get their clutches on Kyler Murray, this was a reality. Philadelphia fell apart in the O-line. Arizona's O-line's not great. But it actually outperformed expectations last year, and I think it'll be better this year. I'd probably swallow the 6.5 here with Arizona. My bonus pick, not my blazing 5. Your thoughts?
Well, this is one I disagree with a lot. Fezzik, who's on Straight Out of Vegas with me, he actually likes the Cardinals. And we're going to do a crossfire today on it where we battle. Here's why I don't like it. O-line for Arizona is not great. That's but maybe 25th in the league. And thus, I think that Washington D-line is going to be effective. I don't think it's the Kyler Murray's elusiveness that's the problem with San Fran. It's schematic. And this was an amazing stat. I think we talked about this last week. The idea that Arizona had the 10th and 11th best offensive performance the entire year of all teams against San Fran last year, and that scheme edge happened again. But Arizona doesn't have that necessarily against Washington. And finally, if you look at Washington winning a game maybe they shouldn't have, I think with a team that's a losing team, the momentum, the excitement, the sense of here we go is more important. And exactly like you did right, I think correctly, in these other games where you took went against a team that had the big statement win, Arizona, this is the coming out party. In fact, I mean, from what I hear, just listening to the show, is you broke up with Sam Darnold, and now you're with Kyler Murray at this point.
I will say this. I'm seeing growth, whereas with Darnold, I'm not.
True enough. And I agree. I think this might be you got a little shine for him, and I like the underdog here, though there's wise guys on the other side with you.
Okay, RJ Bell, great stuff. I really like our handicapping. And he had a very good week last week. The wise guys went 4-1. That's why they're wise guys, and I'm a dull. What am I called? I'm a square.
You're one of the sharper squares.
I'm one of the faster, slow guys.
Exactly.
All right. RJ, great stuff. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed our Saturday podcast. We'll see you next week.